Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, March 29th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Bracing for Madness, Illini in the NCAA Tournament. Champaign issues order on alcohol sales to ensure those partying hardy also partying safely. This is by Jana Wersima. Champaign. Thursday night's rain couldn't put a damper on the campus celebration after the Illini punched their ticket to the Elite Eight. The crowd at CAMS was lively, as documented by News Gazette reporter Luke Taylor's footage of fans climbing chairs, swinging shirts around, and singing along to Chelsea Dagger. Additionally, a video posted by the Daily Illini on social media showed masses of students celebrating on Green Street in the rain, with one person even sitting on the shoulders of the alma mater statue and shouting I-L-L-I-N-I, as well as more explicit chants about Houston. If the Illini can beat Iowa to clinch their first Final Four appearance in 21 years, game night festivities could be even more enthusiastic. With that in mind, Champaign Mayor Deb Finan has issued an emergency order that places certain restrictions on alcohol sales this weekend, citing safety concerns. While we cheer the Illini basketball team on to victory this weekend, I want to remind fans to follow the team's lead and to celebrate responsibly, she said. These steps are being taken to reduce the possibility of public safety hazards before and after the game. I expect all our students, residents, and visitors to celebrate all the accomplishments of this amazing team respectfully, responsibly, and safely. The restrictions are as follows. Bars in the campus area, as defined by a map included in the order, must serve alcoholic liquor in plastic, paper, or aluminum containers, rather than glass, from 3 p.m. on Saturday to 2:30 a.m. Sunday. Bars that have balconies must use plastic and paper only. Liquor stores in the campus area must halt sales of alcoholic liquor for consumption off-premises, such as packaged liquor and cocktails to go, from 6 p.m. Saturday to 2:30 a.m. on Sunday. All liquor stores in the city of Champaign are restricted from delivering alcoholic liquor in and out of the campus area from 6 p.m. Saturday to 2:30 a.m. on Sunday. This includes the use of third-party delivery services, such as DoorDash. All liquor stores in the city are also restricted from selling more than one keg per customer from 6 a.m. Saturday to 2:30 a.m. on Sunday. Additionally, local law enforcement will have an increased presence in campus town. I understand that these restrictions may cause an inconvenience for some of our residents and business owners, but at the request of local law enforcement, we are taking these proactive steps to help ensure public safety during and after the game, Finan said. Jeff Hamilton, the city's administrative services manager and deputy liquor commissioner, told the News Gazette that city officials will meet with public safety partners after the weekend to determine how effective the order was. This analysis will inform whether or not the order is extended for Final Four games, assuming the Illini advance. The city of Urbana is not issuing an emergency order, said Mayor Deshaun Williams. Eric Meyer, former owner of CAMS and current partner in Pia's Sports Bar and Grill and Bentley's Pub, said Champaign has issued similar orders in the past for events such as unofficial St. Patrick's Day and Halloween. For Meyer, Thursday night likely brought a sense of deja vu from the celebrations when Illinois qualified for the championship game in 2005. At the time, CAMS was located on Daniel Street. I'd say half the crowd emptied out of the bar and all ran down to Green Street just to celebrate on Green Street, Meyer said. It was absolutely an armpit-to-armpit sea of people from pretty much the alma mater all the way to 6th Street on Green that night. Michael Baker, who manages both CAMS and the Red Lion, said that the city's changes won't impact the two bars too much. We already serve everything that we have in plastic, single-use plastic, and we don't have any glass in the bar for the same concerns, he said. We serve all our beer and seltzers in aluminum cans. The two bars' preparations include having more staff than usual on the clock, ready to make sure people are staying safe, both inside the bar and outside as they wait to get in. We understand the city trying to keep people safe and allow people to celebrate safely, so we're in the business of doing that too, Baker said. However, Santok Singh, owner of Liquor Land in the ground floor of the 32 East Green apartment building, said he feels that the city's order unfairly penalizes local retailers while ignoring the real risks. This order is completely backwards and does not make a sense from a public safety standpoint, he told the News Gazette. Retail stores are being forced to stop sales, yet bars are still allowed to serve alcohol during the same time. If the goal is safety, this decision is doing the opposite, pushing more people into crowded bars instead of allowing them to stay home and watch the game responsibly. Singh said he also feels it is unfair that some of the restrictions focus on campus town rather than the city at large. People who are unable to purchase alcohol in campus town will simply travel outside the area, consume alcohol, and then return, potentially leading to more instances of drinking and driving, he argued. That does not improve safety. It creates a bigger problem. In addition to the city's emergency order, the Champaign City Center team will be hitting the streets as usual, including from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. in campus town, said operations manager Colette Jackson. She explained that the team works to keep the area, along with Midtown and Downtown, clean, safe, and vibrant. During the evening hours, this includes escorting members of the public to their cars or destinations if they so desire, providing directions and communicating with businesses. The team will patrol the streets with a friendly presence, ready to engage and assist wherever needed, Jackson said. We'll also be conducting extra business follow-ups with all bars and restaurants in our district to ensure operations are running smoothly. There will be a few new faces in campus town on game day as future Illini and their families visit for Illinois Bound Admitted Student Day. According to the University of Illinois Office of Undergraduate Admissions, the event provides an opportunity to explore campus through offerings such as tours, a resource fair, open houses, a campus-wide scavenger hunt, and on-campus dining. These activities are generally scheduled to wrap up by 5 p.m., which is good news for any visitors hoping to find a screen in time for tip-off at 5:09 p.m. The alma mater will be in her usual bronze garb as she greets the visiting families. However, Robin Kaler, Vice Chancellor for Administrative Strategy and Chief of Staff for the Chancellor, said that there may be a change of attire if and when the team makes it to the Final Four. Meanwhile, Stephen Farag, co-owner and CEO of Campus Inc., said that the business is printing Final Four merch for Illinois ahead of the game. He declined to share the particulars, but hinted we're bringing back 2005 art. Illini merch sales were doing well, even before Thursday night's game. According to a report from Campus Inc.'s NIL store, during the first weekend of March Madness, Illinois was ranked 5th on the list of top-selling schools and jumped to 3rd for Sweet 16 product sales. Keaton Wagler and David Merkovic both made it onto the top 10 list for best-selling athletes. Wagler was 6th across all athletes and 5th on the men's list. Merkovic was 8th overall and 6th on the men's list. While Pia's and Bentley's are not on campus, Meyer also plans to have increased staffing levels to handle the throngs. He enjoys seeing the crowds come out in their orange and blue to support the team. "We expect a big crowd on Saturday for the game, and actually, the time's a little more favorable to our crowd just because we're a little older," he said with a laugh. Continuing on the front page, article titled, "Vivek Twins Helping Fuel Postseason Run." This is by Joey Wright. Houston. Tomislav Vivek had an easy answer when the Illinois men's basketball coaching staff asked if he wanted to play with twin brother Zvonimir. "It was a no-brainer," he said. "I just said, of course. I think he's a great basketball player. You guys do what you need to do. But he would love to come here. I would love him to be here." The move has paid off for the Illini, who are on the doorstep of their first Final Four appearance since 2005. The Ivisic brothers have been a big part of the equation, with Tomislav averaging 10.2 points and 5.7 rebounds in the starting lineup, and Zvonimir contributing 6.7 points and 4.7 rebounds off the bench ahead of Saturday's Elite Eight meeting against Iowa. "It's been great so far," Zvonimir said. "We've had a lot of fun together. I love playing with him. He loves playing with me. Connection is there and everything. It's crazy for me to be on this stage with my brother." Zvonimir started his college basketball career at Kentucky in 2023 before transferring to Arkansas for the 2024-25 season. He registered 13 points and 6 rebounds in a 90-77 loss to Illinois on November 28, 2024, but went on to play a key role as the Razorbacks advanced to the Sweet 16. He frequently talked with his brother on FaceTime during that season, which was Tomislav's first and Zvonimir's second of college basketball. Tomislav started 31 of his 32 appearances with the Illini during his first season, in which he was classified as a junior. So Zvonimir knew plenty about Illinois and life in Champaign-Urbana before he entered the transfer portal prior to the 25-26 season. "I already kind of knew how it is here," Zvonimir said. "I heard a lot of great things about Champaign and this program. I've wanted to be with him since he came here." Tomislav had already decided he'd be back at Illinois prior to Zvonimir's decision if he wasn't playing professionally. "I knew one thing, that if I don't go to the NBA draft, I'm coming back here," he said. "It was an easy decision. I like the program. I like the coach's mentality. Play hard. It's all about winning here. It was an easy decision." Forward Ben Humiches quickly realized that Zvonimir would be a winning addition for the Illini. "Playing against Zvonimir last year was fun, but I knew the skill Z brought coming here to the University of Illinois and the asset that he would be to us," Humiches said. "So when I heard that we were getting a pair of twins, it was such a big deal to me." That Tomislav stands at 7'1" and Zvonimir eclipses him at 7'2" has made Illinois one of the tallest college basketball teams in the country, and Tomislav is now on the doorstep of helping Illinois make program history. "I feel like I belong here," he said. "They accepted me very well from the first moment. They only had one goal from the first day. Just work hard. Don't take anything for granted. One game at a time. And we know that we're good enough to be here. and we're not done yet. Forward Jake Davis made frequent appearances on those FaceTime calls between the Ivisic brothers. He's been Tomislav's roommate for the last two seasons. Zvonimir has roomed with Mihailo Petrovic this season, but remains close with Tomislav and Davis. "Me and him kind of built a connection from day one," Davis said. "We get along. We like a lot of the same things. And then when Z came here, he's his twin. You know what I mean? So I treated him as my brother. And Z comes here and he's his brother. So we're all brothers." Tomislav, for his part, has gotten used to having a roommate. "When I saw him for the first time in my room, I didn't know I was going to have a roommate," Tomislav said. "From that moment, we just clicked. He introduced me to America and American cultures, and we hang out a lot." During practice, before Illinois' Sweet 16 win over Houston, Coach Brad Underwood wore a pair of shoes that had flags from each of the five countries represented on the Illini's roster. Tomislav has taught Davis plenty about his native Croatia, just as Davis helped him get up to speed on life in the United States. "I've learned a lot, I would say," Davis said. "There's so many things about the rest of the world you wouldn't even know. He and a bunch of other guys have opened up to what it's like overseas, what it's like maybe somewhere outside of America. It's been super informative." Guard Kylan Boswell has an easy description of what the Ivisic teams are like away from the court and how helpful they are on the court. "They're goofballs, silly guys," Boswell said. "But having two twin towers back there for us defensively, and then on the offensive end, getting boards, making the right plays as a big, how well they both can shoot can stretch it for all of us." Davis agrees that Tomislav is a bit more laid back away from basketball. "Behind the scenes, he's not locked in whatsoever," Davis said. "When it comes to basketball, he's very serious, obviously. Takes care of his business. But outside of basketball, he's very much, let's go have fun. Let's do what we want to do and have a great time." Tomislav didn't partake in any ice cream following Thursday's win against Houston, though many of his teammates did. He did, however, join in the water gun fight that left the Illini locker room drenched. But his focus is back on Saturday's Elite Eight matchup against the Hawkeyes, whom the Illini beat 75-69 on January 11th in Iowa City. "Knowing what we work hard for all year," he said, "is a huge achievement to be here in the Elite Eight. But we know that we could do better things than that. We've been practicing for this all year, and we're not going to let the opportunity slide." Continuing inside the front page, we have Top of the Morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. "There will be the usual chance of ILLINI tonight at the corn crib of Newman, and if the good guys win, the owners just might spring for a round, as they are known to do. At the popular Douglas County Tavern on Yates Street is in position to host an Elite Eight watch party is a true Cinderella story. In the wee hours Monday, two masked ne'er-do-wells broke in through the patio door and vandalized several gaming machines. The burglary forced the corn crib to shut down this week, including on what would have been a busy Thursday with the Illini playing Houston. On Friday, however, after days of repairs, owners and U of I grads Scott and Erica Burris made the decision to reopen at 4 p.m. today, about an hour before the Illini take on Iowa. "We had to be open," Erica said. "No matter how much of a headache it was, it's stressful, but I'm glad we were able to pull it off." As the investigation continues, Scott and Erica said, the return of customers will be a pleasant distraction. "Getting to watch a game like this together with your community and your neighbors is a great experience," she said. "It's something everyone enjoys." And in history, area history, in 1926, William Stratton of the Isaac Walton League notified local league officials today that the conservation group plans to stock Salt Fork Creek at Homer Park with a carload of game fish on April 2 during a gala event. The fish car, with 80,000 ready-to-spawn fish aboard, is being routed over the Wabash from Havana, Illinois. The curious are invited to inspect it at the event. In 1976, Champagne High Rises Bromley Hall, 910 South 3rd Street, and Illini Towers, 409 East Chalmers Street, will not be given top priority by Champagne's Urban High Crime Project, said John Morrison, assistant planner for the city's Crime Reduction Council. The two high-rises had previously been considered target areas for the council's efforts to reduce residential burglary in the area. In 2011, investigators spent Sunday going through the interior of a campus town building that was hit by a fire last week, but fire department officials still don't know how long it will take before the cause is determined. Captain Wayne Huckstadt of the Champaign Fire Department said investigators from the department and the state fire marshal's office spent much of the day at 625, 627, and 629 East Green Street, the building housing Zorba's and Mia Zah's Cafe restaurants, and the Pattaya clothing store. In international history, today's highlight: on March 28, 1979, America's worst commercial nuclear accident occurred with a partial meltdown inside the Unit 2 reactor at the Three Mile Island plant near Middletown, Pennsylvania. On this date in 1898, the U.S. Supreme Court in United States versus Wong Kim ruled 6-2 that Wong, who was born in the United States to Chinese immigrants, was an American citizen. It was the first Supreme Court decision to rule on the citizenship status of a child born in the United States to non-citizen parents. In 1935, the notorious Nazi propaganda film Triumph des Willens, Triumph of the Will, directed by Leni Riefenstahl, premiered in Berlin with Adolf Hitler present. In 1941, author Virginia Woolf, 59, drowned herself near her home in Lewes, East Sussex, England. Continuing with our communities, the Corn Belt Fire Protection District, Burning Passion, longtime deputy chief, unanimously named 2025 Firefighter of the Year. This is by Rob Lee Keats. Muhammad, even more than 21 years into his career, nothing has topped the exhilarating feeling the deputy chief of the Corn Belt Fire Protection District enjoyed as a kid. When you become a firefighter, I don't care what anybody tells you, the favorite thing is getting on a big red truck and going down the road with lights and sirens going, John Cumby said. It's an adrenaline rush. When he isn't at his day job as the fire marshal at Willard Airport, Cumby is most likely at Corn Belt, where he has been a member of the team for 2+ decades. Usually, he's acutely aware of everything happening in the volunteer district, but one thing has staked him recently, something he never knew would mean a great deal to him. Until the early 2020s, the Corn Belt fire chief selected the recipient of the Firefighter of the Year award. Now it's a peer-nominated award, and Cumby is the latest recipient. Keeping that nugget of information from the man who helped coordinate past award ceremonies couldn't have been easy, but they pulled it off. It was shocking and surprising. I did not expect it at all, Cumby said. This year I've been busy at work and with family stuff, so I didn't know. And when the chief started describing the person while I'm sitting next to my son, my brain started to think, who's this? Then it clicked. I was so emotional, he said. I'll be honest, it means a lot because this place is important to me and my family. It takes a special kind of person to receive recognition from the vast majority of the staff, and Chief John Kohler wholeheartedly agreed. Whatever the task may be, Cumbie is usually ahead of the game, Colter said, adding that though Cumbie would never say it, his quiet leadership ensures that business operates as smoothly as it can. He never does this for any accolades, certainly not even for a Firefighter of the Year award, Colter said. That's just not who he is as a person. And he just does this from our newest guy in the department to one of our most veteran people. He's a person that just mentors and helps. Firefighting roots. Growing up in the Chicago region, Cumbie was familiar with the inner workings of the fire service long before entering the field himself. Not only did his family work in the fire service, but his friends' dads did too, so he became a semi-regular fixture at the firehouse. I hung around so much that I actually got to help at 8 years old, giving safety tips in the smoke trailers, he said. I would sit there and would just go through with a firefighter and they would ask me, did we miss anything? When it came time to pick a career path, his passion for firefighting had faded. He moved in with family members who were attending Eastern Illinois in Charleston, and where he decided to try to reignite his childhood dream career. I wasn't quite sure what path I wanted to go down, and I signed up one day down in Charleston, he said. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot and see if that passion that was there when I was younger was still there. Turns out it was. So Cumbie joined the Lincoln Fire Protection District in 2002. That district was different from Cornbelt, with firefighters only responding to fire calls, not medical ones. There were three stations with around 70 volunteers, and his home base had around 20. Just in his first month, his coworkers helped pave the way for Cumbie. The guys were fantastic. They helped me get my path started with the training and certification program going too, he said. Members aren't required to take those classes, but if someone wanted to opt in, Lincoln Fire granted easy access. I was there for just over 2 years, and it really helped me get a good foundation, he said. While in Charleston, he met his wife, a Mahomet native, and decided to move to her hometown. In turn, he embraced Mahomet as his own and joined Cornbelt. He said, I've seen so much growth and development over 20 years. Because of all the rules I've been able to fit into and hold, he said, I've been blessed to be able to play a big part in a lot of changes, and we empower our guys here, so they're all part of this too. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Sunday, March 29th, 2026. Please stay tuned.